produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Joshua chapter 1. I see my do not disturb signs, but that's all right. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. Father, we thank you for this privilege of preaching. We ask God that through your word, you would allow us to find a safe haven, refuge, an ordinance by which we can live by. Lord, we know that we have not always kept your commandments, nor have we gotten everything right. Matter of fact, you put us all on the plane when you said in Romans, all have sinned and come short of your glory. You made us all together, all inclusive, so we know that we all have shortcomings. We all have failures, faults, and human frailties. But Lord, through your word, we ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we may be made the better. We ask that you would allow the Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on us. The word declares that we beheld your glory. And Lord God, that we should always praise and thank you for what you have done. We've come to your house to praise and worship you, but we also come for a word from you. Thank you for giving me a word for the people. Thank you for allowing me to be your mailman, your spokesman this morning, so that I cannot talk about my own opinion, but something straight out of the word of God. Help me to preach the right way this morning. Help me to herald the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, and help me to continue to point the people to Jesus Christ. Let this word fall on fertile ground and continue to elevate us as we continue to go after you. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. And Lord, have your way in this place. And we'll continue to give your name all praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name we do pray and ask it all. Every believer shout, thank God. Amen. Joshua, this morning, if you don't mind, I just want to teach my way through this. Joshua, chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 8. When you there, say, I'm there. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, in the King James Version says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The word of God for the people of God. I want to talk from this subject, living a successful Christian life through the word of God. Amen. Living a successful Christian life through the word of God. Brothers and sisters, we measure success by the world's standards. Most people say you're successful if you got cars and clothes and commodities and cash on hand and creature comforts, if you will. And if you go on a lot of Caribbean cruises, they say that you are successful. Many people think if you got 4, 5, 6 bedroom house and you got 6 figures in the bank that you are successful. Many people in the world deem success as you having a whole lot of people that call themselves your friends. They eat at your table. They answer when you call. They are your friend on Facebook. Can I get a witness here? They say that having a lot of everything makes one successful. But for the believer, it's strikingly different. We have a witness here, because God measures success rather differently than the world measures success. Your success from God's point of view is if you can obey God and keep the word of God in your heart. Here in our text, brothers and sisters, we see in Joshua chapter 1 that Joshua has taken over the reins of Moses. Here in the historical and cultural context, at this point in history, the Israelites had just experienced the death of their leader, Moses. And they were about to embark on conquering the promised land under a new leader. The book of Joshua is a record of the Israelites' journey into the promised land. But even, brothers and sisters, though they're mourning the death of their longtime leader Moses, and they are recipients of new leadership from God, you still got some Israelites who murmur and complain. They murmur and complain because they cannot get past the days of yesteryear. They cannot get past the moments that they once had, the good old days, if you will, and they cannot see God because their vision is cloudy. Do I have a witness here? We see in the text, Reverend Chris, that the word says that we should keep the law in our mouths every day. Now, the word law in the Hebrew is Torah. Say that with me, Torah. Which not only refers to the first 5 books of the Bible, but also encompasses the entire word of God. Therefore, when God commands Joshua to keep the book of the law on his lips, he is saying to meditate and speak his word continuously. In other words, there should never be a time that we as believers should not speak the word of God. But we got to know the word to speak the word. I wish I had a witness here. You got to know from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22 what thus saith the Lord. Strictly, I believe, brothers and sisters, that the reason why we're struggling so much is we don't know the word of God. The reason why we cannot get it right nor get together in unity is because we don't know the word of God. Why? Because people of the word, they don't bicker and murmur and complain. People of the word don't continue to keep up mess. People of the word are always finding ways, here's the Bible, to follow peace with all mankind. Let's as we look at the exegetical expression of the text, let's break down this verse and look at it more closely. Rem do. Firstly, God commands Joshua to keep the word on his lips. That means if he keeps the word on his lips, he has little to no occupancy to keep negativity on his lips. Is my mic on this morning? This means that God's word should be ever present in our thoughts and in our speech. When we constantly think and speak about God's word, it becomes a regular regimen in our daily life. It becomes a part of who we are. We become saturated with his truth and become more equipped to live according to his will. Brothers and sisters, let me suggest to us that we need the word of God. We need the word of God. Success in the body of Christ is simply faithfulness unto God. Not only should we know the word of God, but we should know the God of the word. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, we get this piece about being filled with the word of God. And it suggests that if we are filled with the word of God, brothers and sisters, we are faithful in our walk. Focus on his will. Fruitful in his work. Fervent in our witness. Fortified for warfare. And festive in worship. You didn't get it. Let me rewind the tape. If we are filled by the word of God, if we are true believers and true readers and not just hearers only of the word of God, and we're saturating our hearts and our mind and our soul with the word of God, we're faithful in our walk. Focus on his will. Fruitful in his work. Fervent in our witness. Fortified for warfare. And festive in worship. One of the things I've learned, brothers and sisters, you cannot pick and choose what you want to choose out of the word of God. You got to believe the whole word or nothing at all. The results of keeping God's word on our lips, brothers and sisters, is meditating. Meditating on it day and night. Yes, we got to be careful to do everything that's written in the word. And this means that our actions and choices will align with God's word. And we will live a life of obedience strictly to him. This obedience leads to success and prosperity, not necessarily in material possessions. Because most people think prosperity, teach pastor, I think I will this morning. Most people think that in order for you to have prosperity, you got to have a whole lot of money in the bank. No, I've met some very prosperous people that didn't have a dime to their name, but then they knew the word of God and knew the God of the word. And because they were obedient to the word, the Bible says they are prosperous. Prosperity does not, in God's view, necessarily mean you have all material possessions. But it does mean that you have a life that is pleasing to the Almighty God. Now, how do we apply that to our lives? I'm glad you asked. As believers, we are called to be people of the word. Somebody shout, as believers, God called us to be people of the word. What do you mean, Pastor Redwell? We must be people of the word. I'm glad you asked. I was about to bust wide open. We should make it a priority to study and meditate on God's word day and night. Every day, without fail, we should meditate, read, and study the word of God. But it is at all? No, it should not just be a superficial reading, but a deep contemplation of the truths that God has spoken over our lives. We should also make it a habit to speak about God's word with other people, sharing the truth of God's word with one another and encouraging one another through the word of God. In a world that is constantly barging and bombarding us with information and distractions, it can be easily able to neglect God's word. You know that old devil is busy, don't you? And if you don't know, I think I ought to tell you the devil is busy. I need to tell you. He'll put everything before you so that you don't read God's word. Because he knows, here it is, here's the answer to the test. He knows that if you get some word down on the inside, you'll turn away from him. And you'll have a no vacancy sign on your life so that he can't come in when he feel like it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He knows, brothers and sisters, if you become a student of the word and you fill your heart with the word, he knows that your life will elevate and be made the better, because you cannot be a student of the word and remain the same. You can't do it. That's why I sit and I wonder who's reading their Bible in St. Mark Missionary Baptist Church. Because your life should reflect that you've been reading God's word. David said, brothers and sisters, his word, it should be right here. Have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against him. Listen, when you bathe in the word, not only do you sin less, but you become sinless. In other words, brothers and sisters, you put in perspective the word of God and you make sure that you are rising to the standards of God's word. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? In a world where we see everything around us being thrown at us, we got this distraction, that distraction. They call us to do this. They call us to do that. And can I just be honest? We don't have sense enough to say no sometimes. Come on, I know I'm telling the truth on you, because I'm telling the truth on myself. Sometimes we so busy trying to get accolades and we trying to get this and get that and get to the measure where we think that we're successful in our own careers and stuff. Sometimes when they throw stuff at us and use us, we ain't got sense enough to say no. Amen. Amen. It's strikingly interesting that when it comes time for you to read the Bible, you get real sleepy. I know I'm not by myself in here. Come on, y'all might well be a witness. Amen. Amen. Get real sleepy. I'm talking about some of us have started out reading the word and we reading the Bible and we getting encouraged, and all of a sudden 2 o'clock in the morning, we wake up with the Bible on our chest like this. That's because Satan don't want you to be filled with his word. He would rather you to stay the same way you are, because where there is no growth, death is sure to come. And I'm not just talking about growth in the sense of everybody calling your name, everybody knowing who you are and all that old type of stuff, and people regurgitating your credentials and your accolades. God don't care about none of that mess. for man, teach pastor. Amen. He don't care about none of that stuff. But all he care about is if we are doing what he has said for us to do. Well, what he says, in order, and I'm almost done here. In order to live a successful Christian life through the word of God, several things that we must do, and I need you to write them down. I need you to write them down. Somebody said, write them down. Here they are. Number one, we should always look for the revelation through the word of God. That the church shall look for the revelation. That there's always ways to look for revelation through his word. Revelation just simply means that you become refreshed or revitalized through the word that God is speaking directly to you. But in order for us to receive the revelation, we must know the person of God. We must know the plan of God. We must know the purity of God. And we also should know the purpose of God. Say it with me, the person of God, the plan of God, the purity of God, and the purposes of God. God's person is made clear to us through his word so that we can know his track record and know what he will accept and know what he will not accept. Do you hear me there? He says the book of the law. In other words, the revelation that God has given unto us. Do you hear me? Well, not only the revelation, but we should lean for the proclamation of the word. That church shall lean for the proclamation of the word. God has something spectacular in his word. He says to us that we must understand that we should always keep the word of God on our hearts so that we can know his precepts, his principles, his priorities, and we could know the Prince of Peace. Who is the Prince of Peace? Jesus Christ. Jesus did not just show up in Matthew when he was born in Bethlehem, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. But Jesus was there from the beginning. Because Jesus, teach pastor, is a part of the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Pastor, how do you know that Jesus was there in the beginning? I'm glad you asked. The Bible says that God speaks audibly and said, let us. Y'all ain't praying with me this morning. Let us. So that word us suggests that it was more than one person. And then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was hovering over the water in the book of Genesis. So they were all together. But in Matthew, in the New Testament, Jesus became the sacrificial lamb that came down through 40 and two generations just to die for you and I. In other words, God made him a body in the New Testament, but he was there in the Old Testament. So in order to focus on the Jesus of the New Testament, you must first learn about the Jehovah of the Old Testament. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. Yeah. You can't have one teach y'all without the other. So you got to look for the revelation. Then you got to lean on the proclamation, but you have to linger in it through meditation. It says meditate on it day and night. Linger in it through meditation. Visualize the word. Verbalize the word. Internalize the word, and then memorize the word. I'm going to say it again. Visualize the word. Verbalize the word. Internalize the word. And then memorize the word. Hey, let me tell you, when you get that word down in you and you can regurgitate it verbatim, when you memorize it and it come back up in the time of trouble, you'll find that your life is made the better because you can speak the word of God over your life. How do you think Jesus was able to overcome the devil in his weakness? He knew the word. He knew the word. Church, if you don't hear nothing else I said today, hear me when I tell you this. If we don't know the word of God, and if we don't live out the true principles of the word of God, we will perish. That's the simplicity of the text. I just summed up my whole sermon in one sentence. If we don't live it, how can we grow as Christian believers? Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I don't want to be a spiritual midget all my life. You know, we look funny when we see people with dwarfism. But if you're in Christ and you don't know the word, you are a spiritual dwarf. Because you have not developed to your full potential. God wants to prosper us, but if we don't get in that word and know the word, our lives will not be successful. I'm linking to meditate, but listen, we must labor in it through observation. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, what does he say? He says, study to show thyself approved. A workman that needed not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. For those who don't know the word, they are easily swayed by stuff that they think is from the word. That's why the Bible says that you have people who are like the shaft that's thrown away with every wind and doctrine, because when you don't know the word, you're like that shaft. You're flowing here, flowing there, looking for something that's already in the book. It's right there in the book, but you got to study to show thyself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed. You're not showing yourself approved to man. But you're showing yourself approved unto God. We got to be studious in his word. We got to be stable in the worship of the Lord. We got to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. And then we have to be standardized in the way of the Lord. We got to study. We got to study. After being out of school for quite some time now, I decided it was time for me to go back and sit into the halls of higher learning, because I have aspirations for my own self. I got to get that third bar on my robe. Y'all say amen. Amen. It ain't for nobody else, but that's just for me. I just want to be called Reverend Dr. Redwell, you know. And Chris, it got hard on me in the beginning because I had been out of focus for a long time. And I had to get my rhythm right in order to make sure that I could keep up. Y'all ain't talking to me. And make sure I wouldn't fail my classes. And so what did I have to do? I had to shut off people, places, and things. I had to close extracurricular activities. I had to buckle down and I had to study. And it paid off. Made an A+ on my midterm the other day. It paid off by studying. Not only my books, but the word of God. Child of God, let me tell you, you got to get in those books. You got to get in the book, the B-I-B-L-E, the basic instruction before leaving earth. You have to know what the word of God says concerning your life. So you got to be studious. Let church out, I got to be studious. Got to be studious. Got to make sure that I labor in its observation through the word of God. But I got to live by the word through application. I got to seize the promises of God. I got to submit to the prescriptions of God. I got to succumb to the prohibition of God, but I got to sell out to the process that the Lord has me in. He says, listen, Joshua, I need you to understand that you're leading some cantankerous people who sometimes get beside themselves. He says, Joshua, they come up with their own mindsets and they make it appear like I said it. I ain't told them nothing because I only speak to the leader and then the leader speak to the people. He said, Joshua, you're going to lead some people that may get on your nerves sometime, but you cannot let that make you a weakling. You got to be strong and courageous and know that whatever happens, I am with you. And it makes a difference, y'all, when you know that you got God on your side. It makes a big difference when you know that you sure enough know that God is on your side. When you are living in the word of God, you know that God will show up right when you need him the most. He has promised us, church, to never leave us nor forsake us. But we must keep the word of God on our heart. Keep the word on our lips. Keep the word in our lifestyle. Now, that does not mean that you'll always get it right. You know, the church is the only place that want people to be perfect when they ain't perfect themselves. I never understood that. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it, but I still can't understand that. You know, if the Lord says strive, that means we'll never really get there until we meet him face to face. So all of us are apt to fail at any given moment or any given time. Now, is that giving you a license to fall? Sure, no, it's not. But in your own human frailty, sometimes you may get knocked down. But the Bible says the righteous man that falleth 7 times rises back up. And the truth of the matter is all of us have fallen in our lives. Y'all won't say nothing because you dressed up this morning. You don't want nobody to know your business. And I understand. You want people to think you're perfect, but the true revelation of God's word working in your life is to tell folk the truth. Yes, I fail. I wish I had a church in here. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I didn't get it right when I was supposed to, but thank God for his grace. Boy, I feel like preaching in this room. Y'all don't make me put my hand on my hip, let my backbone slip. Thank God that he got grace on one side and mercy on the other side. So if I mess up, he can pull me back together. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Don't you let nobody keep your failures before you. If God forgave you, you forgive you. Boy, I'm preaching better than y'all saying something this morning. Stop walking around waddling in the past. I did this and I did that. We all done something. And some folk are privy because folk don't know what they've done. But God sees everything. All of us have messed up. But baby, thank God for his grace. Thank God for his grace. I thank God for grace this morning. Because in my low moments, he know how to pull me back together. He know how to dust me off. Boy, you done got yourself dirty. Let me. Boy, you got some mess on you. Look. Boy, you what you been into? Dust yourself off. Dust yourself off. Get yourself together and make sure you get back in my word. One thing people can't argue with, and that's the word of God. I don't argue about the word of God. And I tell people all the time, the Bible said don't argue about his word. You say what you got to say in the word of God. And the Bible said let the chips fall where they may. Because the word is able to do the work by itself. I wish I had a witness up in here. John 1:1. I gotta go. Bible says, matter of fact, open your Bible so you won't think I'm making it up. Because some folks just think pastors be up here shooting the breeze. John 1:1. I'm not making it up. It's right there. It's right there. It's right there. You got it? Bible says, in the beginning was the word. There it is. And the word was who? I said the word was who? And the word was what? And the word was God. He was with God. Well, in the beginning. In the beginning. Y'all thought I made that up, didn't you? I just wanted to bag it up by scripture. I told you Jesus was there in the beginning. Without him, nothing was made that hath been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of what? It's right there in the book. So Jesus was the word. Jesus was the word made flesh. And the Bible says he dwelt among us. In other words, God prepared him an earthly body so that you and I could know the word and know how we should live a successful Christian life through the word of God. Now, if you're going to tiptoe around the scripture, your life will never be what God wants it to be. If you're going to pick and choose what you want to read based on how you feel that day and don't read the whole Bible, your life will never grow. Y'all say amen. Because catch it. We can pick up Bible forever, whatever we want it to say. You remember Jesus told Judas, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. You know when Judas betrayed Jesus? You do remember that, don't you? And he was about to commit suicide. First of all, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. But he still sat him at the table. Y'all ain't saying nothing. That suggests that sometimes you need to keep your enemies closer to you. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. Yeah, you need to keep them around you because you want them to see how God is able to bless you. My Bible says he prepared the table in the presence. Y'all ain't preaching with me anymore. In the presence of mine enemy. You ain't got to get even with nobody. Just stay in the word of God. Do y'all hear what I'm saying anymore? Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Jesus said, listen, Judas, whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. And some justify suicide by that very verse. Because the devil is so cunning that he make belief what he make us believe. In other words, he twisted around. Because when we don't really know God's word for ourselves, something can sound good and we're like, oh, we. And that don't necessarily mean that it's the truth. In this life, we have to be better. In this life, we cannot afford to live the same way. In this life, if we're going to be a Christian, we got to do stuff by the standards of God's truth found in his word. We can't just have an opinion and say, oh, my grandmama said and my big daddy used to say. Amen. Because that's not necessarily mean that what they said was true. Amen. You got to know him for yourself. Amen. Just because somebody said something that sound good, listen, doesn't mean that that's what God said in his word. You got to try the spirit, teach pastor by the spirit. But if you don't have the Spirit of God working in you, you can't try the Spirit by the Spirit. Gotta get in the Word. And so today, I'm through. But I want us to make a commitment to stop living shabby Christian lives. Just raggedy out here. You around here riding dirty. Around here talking about folk and around here talking down about people. You getting in your little corners and having negative conversations about folk. That ain't of God. And guess what? God ain't pleased. Amen. Amen. We better get it right before the Lord come back. Because listen, if we caught up in that foolishness and the Lord come back, guess what's going to happen? Woe be unto us, right? See, this thing ain't no plaything, and God is writing clearly on the wall, and I've been saying it down through the years, and sometimes I think some people have some plugs in their ear when I'm talking. Because I don't give you my own opinion, but everything I say is found in the Word of God. You got a pastor that studies the Word of God. I ain't trying to condemn nobody. I ain't trying to hate on nobody. I ain't trying to kick nobody while they down. I don't do that. I'm not that type of man. I want to see all of us come up together. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I want to see all of us grow together. When I get to heaven, I want to see some of y'all. Amen. Ain't no good of us being in church all of our lives and we don't know God or his word, and then we get to heaven, we stand before him, we smiling and we looking at him, and he look back at us and say, who are you? Who are you? I don't know who you are. Y'all think I'm playing. It's in the Bible. The word of God said, in that day, there are going to be some that said, Lord, did not I cast out demons in your name? Did not I pray? Did not I look after the sick? And he's going to say, depart from me, thou worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. It's going to be sad if we stand before God and he tells us to depart and we've been in church all our life. All because we didn't want to be what God wanted us to be. We wanted to do our own thing. And doing our own thing will always cause chaos in our lives. Bible says if you got an ought against your brother or sister, you go to them. Is my mic on? Loose lips sink ships. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Go to them. Don't be cancerous and spread negativity. Go to them. That's the Bible. Go to them and say, hey, listen, there's something I need to talk to you about. Sit yourself down and talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind. Some of y'all listened to it yesterday while you were cleaning up. I know it. I know. Yes. Yes. It's good cleanup music. Y'all say amen. Church, we got some stuff we got to straighten out. We got some stuff that we have to straighten out in our lives and in the Lord's church. The Bible says, and I'm done, the Lord is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. He ain't coming back for this building. Mm-mm. No, he not. It's pretty in here now. Show look good. Don't it look good, y'all? It look real good. But he ain't coming back for this building. Because guess what? A tornado can take out this building. And thank God that we've escaped, come on, some tornadoes and stuff that's been in this area, because there's still some righteous people in this house. Amen. That's why the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, not because of the sin that was going on, but because he could not find no righteous person among them. He would have spared the city if there was somebody righteous. Got to live a successful Christian life through God's word. Let's commit to our God today. Let's commit to God. Let's commit to God today. No matter what you did last night, just erase that. What you did last week, throw that out. The Bible says if you ask God for forgiveness, he throws those things into the sea of forgiveness, never ever to return. So ain't no need of us holding on to something that God then threw out. Amen, somebody. Ain't no need of us living in bondage and harboring somebody else's faults in our lives. We got to let some stuff go, y'all. We got to release some stuff so that we can live, L-I-V-E, in the way of righteousness. That's why I tell people all the time, don't you put people on a pedestal. Because at any given moment, any one of us can stumble. Any one of us can get a call about any one of us. Say, child, y'all know how we do. Any one of us. Thank God that everything is well as it is right now. But at any given moment, you don't know what the enemy can come in and do to your life. And or God. Because you do know sometimes God will orchestrate some stuff in your life that is not favorable. Come here, Job. Y'all forgot, right? Job can testify that I went through hell and high water, but I held on to the faith of the word of God. And now it took Job 41 chapters to get that thing right. But in chapter 42, the Lord said, Nate, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. I just read it this week. He gave him double for everything that he endured. Job could have gave up. Job could have threw in the towel because his wife started talking crazy. Why don't you just go and curse God and die? It's in the Bible. I didn't make that up. Hey, you talking like a foolish woman. Amen. Then his friends, his partners, they want to examine his life. Man, you must have did that. How you a righteous man and you going through this? Surely your God ain't allowing a righteous man who's upright and shuns evil to go through this. You do know you got some people around you that want you to fall, don't you? Thought I might tell you. Everybody that smile in your face. Woo! Smiling faces still tell lies. But we got to get in the word of God. You know what I was telling one of our members who called me this week just to check on me. And I thank God for members like that. That's just called a pastor. I just want to check on you, pastor. That's what all of us should do. Just thought I may throw that pen in there. You want pastor to call you and check on you and come get your cat out the tree. I don't climb trees, Doc. My name is not George or the jungle. Y'all ain't saying that. But there comes a time where it should be a reciprocating relationship. Sometimes y'all call and say, Pastor, I just called to tell you I love you. That's the relationship between pastor and people. Pastor, you need anything? Because guess what? Us calling one another can encourage us. Because we don't know what each other is going through. I could be smiling right now. But all the time, my life in shambles. You don't never know. Kind words will take you farther than your money can buy. Every now and again, like David said, sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you got to pat yourself on the back and say, listen, you're doing a great job. Sometimes you just got to look in the mirror and say, you are wonderfully made in the image of God. But you got to fall in love with yourself first. When I've discovered that a lot of us don't love us, so we can't love nobody else. We need to make a commitment today. We need to make a commitment today, and I'm done. We need to make a commitment today that today we're going to start making an effort to live our lives through the Word of God. Not being busybodies all over the place, but focusing in on where God will have you to be. You got to know His Word in order to focus in on where God wants you to be. God has a purpose for all of us. And if we're not living in our purpose, we will have miserable lives. Got everything in the world, but you're still miserable. Got everything at your fingertips, but you're still not happy until you speaking down on somebody. God is calling us, church, to get out of that type of mentality. Because guess what? When we're putting somebody else down, we're down with them. We don't realize it. Because you got to stoop low to put somebody down. Only way we should be looking down on anybody is to help them up. That's the only way. Other than that, we should always encourage our brothers and sisters. Encourage, encourage, encourage. So today should be your day of commitment. And I'm not going to open the doors of the church like we usually do. Because all of us need to rededicate ourselves today. From the pulpit to the back door. Those who are in the fellowship hall and in the back. All of us need to rededicate ourselves today. And get in His Word. And let the Word get in you so that your life can be made different. Everybody lift your hands. Come on. Father, we thank You for Your Word today. Thank You that through Your Word, as You told Joshua, You're telling us very audibly that we should keep Your principles and Your precepts and apply it to our everyday life. Father, we've gotten it wrong so many times. We've done stuff secretly that was not right. We've lived in manners that was not right. We've said some stuff that was not right. But God, thank You for giving us another chance. You could have killed us in our mess, but You allowed us another chance to get it right. And oh God, we ask that, Lord, You would put the old man asunder and allow the newness of Christ to flow within our hearts. We don't want to be creatures of havoc. We don't want to be creatures of cantankerous spirits with division on our heart, but we want to be unified. Because that's the only way we're going to see you in the heavens. And so God, help us to accept the things that we cannot change. God, we can't even change our own selves. We need your help to do that. So God, we ask that you will renew us today. And we vow to worship you better. We vow to have devotion with you more. We vow to read your word a little more so that our lives can reflect the image in which we were made. You made us in your image, in the imago Dei, in the image of you, God. You didn't have to do that. But you breathe into us your breath. And sometimes we let other folks and other things breathe on us. But Lord, we want your breath to resonate through our heart right now. God, if there's anybody in here dealing with some internal issues, who are dealing with some things, some aughts they got against their brother or sister, let them be a good soldier and go to them today. I come against every cancerous negative spirit in this place. I cancel it down in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of division in this house got to go in the name of Jesus.
Come on, put your hands together. How many, oh God, I thank you. I dare you to get up on your feet and help us praise the Lord tonight. He's been real good. Thank you.
Thank you.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.